There's a chill in the air, O God. It is, of course, the season for such changes, the scattering nuts, the coloring and falling leaves, the jacket and long sleeves. And there's an exhilaration about it, sitting in the bleachers or biting down on a fresh apple or pulling on that favorite sweater. There's a certain glory to shivering, fresh delight in a cup of something steaming. And autumn's relief beckons those longer, less perspirational walks. But there's a stillness as well, not always comfortable, a soulful dampness, somehow heavier and more opaque. The coolness might make it more pleasant to move, but we are perversely less prone to it. And sometimes that's true even of the walk of faith, the discipline required, the focus, the effort. Nudge us, we pray. Move your spirit in us like the wind among the branches, and stir us into newness of life. But we pray not just for ourselves. Hear our prayers for those who are ill that we have named, recovering that we've given thanks for, those who are lost and searching, those who are lonely and are reaching. Hear our prayers for our leaders and their impasses, our troops and their dangers, our search committee and their discerning deliberations. Hear our prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving for the musicians among us and how they lead and enrich our worship. Hear the entirety of our prayers, for we offer them in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever." Perhaps you can continue the melody of that anthem in your memory as we read the scripture lesson together from 2 Timothy chapter 3, which you can find on page 166, the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Let's listen together for God's voice in these words. "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time's coming when people won't put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. and we'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. Shall we pray? Loving God, bless not only our hearing of these words, but their comprehension, that they might translate in through the very fiber of our discipleship into ministry. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I wrote a song. Two, if you want to know the larger truth. Lori, as some of you might recall, afforded me for my birthday a few weeks ago the wondrous privilege of spending a week with two singer-songwriters whose work I have treasured through the years. And I arrived, I think 2 weeks ago today, at the conference center in New York's Hudson River Valley with excitement and trepidation and giddy anticipation. I didn't have a clue what to expect from them or what they might expect from me, but I was dying to find out. Well, I mean, this isn't the time to give a complete accounting of it all, but I'll tell you that of the 20 or so in the class, I was one of two who hadn't already been busy writing songs for some years, and I was one of two who didn't bring a notebook full of samples to share. And since, as it turned out, part of our sessions each day were given over to song critiques of those who did bring songs, I decided I ought to have something to offer when my turn came, even if that something were only words without any tune as yet by which to sing them. And so in the afternoons, I tried to hammer away with a pencil and paper, or their electronic equivalents. And there were plenty of ideas I could have spent time developing, including an eventual tribute to my beloved whose generosity had sent me there. Alongside of that gratitude, there was my daughter's impending wedding that kept occupying my thoughts. Thoughts sort of emanating from this notion, this burden, really, that a father ought to have something worthwhile to say to his daughter on the threshold of such a momentous occasion. Now, let me just say, I'll be the first to admit that the wisdom I settled on as the point of the song is hardly the last word on the subject. And frankly, it's not very romantic. For that matter, heck, I'm not even sure it's very wise. But what it does, however, is try to call attention to the fact that it isn't always easy. It isn't love I'm talking about. It isn't all laughter and romance and wine and roses. In fact, sometimes it's the thorns that seem to occupy center stage more so than the roses. It can be hard. Just whatever young bride wants to know. But as I tried to emphasize in some fairly bad poetry, that doesn't mean you're failing. It just means you're normal. The chorus, if you'll endure it, goes like this. Love's a balloon amid wind and rough edges, and promises won't keep it aloft. There's joy in the chasing, laughs in the reaching, but after a while you grow tired. Now, all that I know is from forgiveness and failure, but what they've taught, I'll pass on. From fallible father to hesitant daughter. Think of your ring as a string on your finger that reminds you to fiercely hold on. Just remember to fiercely hold on. well, like I say, bad poetry and whatever value such an insight might have to a newly minted bride and groom, it is, I think, virtually the same counsel that Paul was offering his protege Timothy, and through Timothy to all those other potential Christians that he might have occasion to reach. It isn't always easy. Oh, conversion is exhilarating, baptism is breathtaking, but after that it gets more complicated. And sometimes the crowds around you are supportive, other times they're just seductive. Sometimes they're hungry for the gospel message, and other times they just can't even bear the sound of the words. That, and there's always seems to be this insatiable itch for the new, the novel, the clever, the flashy. Never mind that this isn't a toothpaste we're talking about, or the fashion runway, or the auto industry's ever-evolving new model year. It's faith. And don't think that you're exempt, Paul notes with a word of caution. After all, our own spiritual seasons change too. The wet fertility of spring becomes the cold hardness of winter when our prayers fall like stones and our own soul feels clenched like a fist. Wise, then, the counsel, as the old translations used to render it, proclaim the message persistently in season and out of season. Or as my humble poetic efforts put it, amidst the wind and rough edges, just remember to fiercely hold on. At least at its core, because this good news by which and to which we have been called is worth holding on to. Paul, in his own sort of poetic waxing, extols the preciousness of Scripture. There's nothing like the Word of God, he puts it according to one modern translation. Nothing quite like it for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ. Every part of Scripture, he puts it, is God-breathed and useful in one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we're put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. Or as one commentator summarized it, Scripture instructs us in that which is true. It reproves us for that which is amiss, and directs us in that which is good. Now, the Scriptures, of course, that Paul was referring to constituted what we tend to think of as the Old Testament. There was no New Testament at that time to talk about. There was just the Law and the Prophets, those associated writings that reflected on them, those and their sense of how all that biblical imagination came to be embodied in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. It's not that one should never question Scripture or study it critically, or that every single sentence has the same heft and character to stand alone, never mind what the rest of those sentences might say. It's just that as a gathered witness to God's will and way for the earth, it is the arch beneath we are wise to pass, and only foolishly discounted or avoided because it is sometimes hard, or what may be even more damning, not fun. Now, I'm not sure what season we might be in. You as a disciple, or we as a congregation, as to that latter, no one is likely to really relish this particular time as a favorite season. Here we are, in between ministers, weary in one way or another. a fear, even a quiet fear of settling into a state of stale stagnation. It's understandable to feel like missional direction and spiritual vitality are a little untethered and adrift in these colder, leafless days of a congregational autumn. And God knows it's a lot more work right now, making sure that everything and everyone gets tended to instead of just, you know, assuming that the minister on the one day they work will take care of it all. I mean, will the doors get opened and then later locked? Will the communion bread get baked and the money counted and the newsletter out on time? Will the sick be prayed for and new opportunities picked up on? Oh, and by the way, did anybody notice or welcome that visitor a couple of weeks ago? Oh, there's so much to think about. It's all sort of complicated and tedious right now. And we look out across the calendar's landscape and recognize that it really isn't going to end anytime soon. The search committee is prudently doing its work. But even an optimistic forecast of a conclusion to their efforts falls somewhere beyond winter into spring. The truth is, we remain closer to the beginning of this wilderness than its end. And congregational discipleship, just like love, is also a balloon amid wind and rough edges, and it will take more than just good intentions to keep it aloft. It'll take a collective recognition that it's important and worth our concentrated attentions to keep it buoyant and bobbing along. But let me just observe that this is when it really matters, precisely when it's not easy. This is when we finger around on our faith as we hold on to it separately and together and see what it's made of, what it's worth, and what all I will do to sustain it. This is the time to return to those scriptures whose truths compelled us in the first place, whose comforts sustained us, whose guidance channeled us, whose glimpses into God's imagination inspired us, and then let them go to work on us afresh as grace and guide and ground and prod. There will be those times, Paul cautions, when people fall away, when the ears are turned against you. Heck, who are we fooling? There will be those times when it is our own heart that has laryngitis, and our own ears that can't bear the sound, and our own spiritual legs that cramp with a kind of missional weariness. But that, counsels Paul, is precisely when you hold on to that string more fiercely than ever. Keep your eye on what you're doing, he adjures us. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. For I'm here to tell you, as even an aspiring, barely more than ignorant farmer can attest, the seasons will change again. The heart's soil will warm, and the spirit's rain will fall, and we will want to be seeded and rooted when it does, and nourished, and already growing and strong enough to bear the weight of the fruit that will surely feed the many who will come to find their way beneath our shade. Preach the word. Bear witness to this good news in season and out. Let us pray. Loving God, lift us when we're weary. blow the breath of your Spirit into our lives and make us witnesses of your peace. In Christ's name we pray.